Hey everybody, my name is Eric.
My name is Takandra, and welcome to Building with the Browns.
We are super excited to bring you fresh revelation and perspectives based on our life experiences.
Yes, we are all about laying foundational truths regarding marriage, love, faith, family, finances, and more that are built to last.
We hope you enjoy Building with the Browns.
Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Building with the Browns.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back. What's going on, fam?
Hope everybody's doing okay. We are excited to be amongst you guys again today.
Yes.
For an interesting conversation, right?
Absolutely. Before we jump into this, though, I have to give a huge shout out to all of our new subscribers, all of our new listeners. One of the great things about doing this podcast is we get to reach so many different people.
Yeah.
Whether they're in their car and you know, in their office,
in Africa,
right? We got a listener in Africa, so thank you.
Right. Well, I'm excited to continue on with the theme of stewardship, and today we want to talk about relationships and how to steward our relationship.
Right, and that's we're talking family. Friends, followers,
right?
My business associates, personal relationships,
and even your spouse.
Come on, how do you manage me?
I don't know.
Oh Lord, yeah. I'm a little high mate.
Yeah, you are.
And you're just totally you're a little spoiled.
No, we're talking about you.
Oh,
not
just
me.
Talking about me. Okay, so this podcast is brought to you by Building with the Browns about Eric Brown.
Yeah, no? Of course.
Oh, okay.
So relationships are a beautiful but broken aspect of God's creation because of the fall of man, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a conversation with Adam and Eve
right
when we get to heaven one day.
Got to know what they was thinking.
Because it started with their relationship being broken with God when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm.
And now it's like it's made it even more difficult for us to be in relationship with people in this broken world, or shall I say, because of this system, the broken world system. So we struggle. We struggle with trusting people. We struggle with, you know, entering into relationships and managing them properly. But our Heavenly Father is all about restoring and redeeming relationship because He created it for us, right? That's
right.
His overall mission. Is to restore His family back into relationship with Him.
Like, how do we properly manage or steward our relationships?
Well, what does steward mean, babe? What is that?
Well, stewardship is managing or taking care of something or someone, basically. And I mean, it's just that simple. It's you. You're not the owner, right? But you have a responsibility to manage a thing or a person in a way not to control them.
Last week during our Bible study at home, you taught us about this five principles of stewardship. And I think it's totally relevant today for this conversation. So tell us a little bit about those principles.
Right. So I pulled these five principles straight from Genesis 1, starting at the 26th verse through the 31st verse, right? And mm-hmm. The first one is to have dominion. So God gave us dominion or rule over the fish, right?
The animals,
and the birds and those
crawling creatures.
Yeah, those creatures, right? So those spiders that I'm scared of, I actually have dominion over that, right? I don't have to be
afraid.
You need
to practice that dominion.
I need to. But I tell you, it's hard because they furry and they got legs and they got eight eyes. So it makes me nervous.
They don't all have eight eyes, do they?
I don't know. Yeah, they got eight eyes and eight legs. I don't know where they're going.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway.
The point is, we have dominion over those things.
Right. And not people. So the next one is being fruitful. And all that is being productive. What are we doing with our time, with our money, with our gifts, with our talents? Are we being productive? We don't ever want to just be idle. We weren't created to just sit still, right? Mm. And so we were created to work or to do something in this life. And that's what gives us purpose.
Right.
I think I used the example as a tree. You know a tree is fruitful because of the fruit that it bears. So I know it's an apple tree because it has apples on it.
Right.
Right. And so I think the same theme or the same definition for people as well. You know people by the fruit that they bear, right? The things that they do. The next principle that I taught on was to multiply, meaning to increase in number, right? We don't want to be selfish. We want to, you know, as we grow or as we come into the knowledge of something, we want to be able to share that with someone else so that they can be shared to the next person. So we really want to be Christ representers and then to multiply that through right. discipleship. The next one is replenish, and that's to fill or refill what you've poured out. Right. And so that's what we invest in people, what you've consumed or where you've gotten it from. And it's not to just hold that information to yourself. So we have to invest that through relationships to other people. Then the last one is to subdue. That definition is very vague, but it kind of sums up stewardship, I think, in totality. So it's to take charge or to bring under control, especially for those that are in leadership roles. Right. We don't want to control our people, but we do want to take responsibility by leading from the front.
Or in essence, you want to take responsibility by leading with love, because we don't control people.
Right. That would be dictatorship.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't need none of that.
Yeah. We ain't no dictating up in here.
Not up in here. Not up in nowhere. Okay. Maybe overseas somewhere, but not up in these pots. So we can take these same five principles, give or take the dominion, and careful with the subduing,
mm-hmm.
And we can apply them to how we steward our relationships better. One thing I love that you said is God owns everything. He owns everything, including us as individuals.
Right.
So that's one thing that we have to keep at the forefront of our mind is we don't own anything. One of the issues in relationships is that we try to take ownership over people mm-hmm. or a person that we're in relationship with.
Right.
That's one thing God has always spoken to me, even as it relates to, you know, just mentoring or, you know, mothering, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
God always reminds me that I don't own anybody he sends to me or anybody that I'm sent to.
Absolutely.
So that's important.
And it is important. One of the quotes that I used in the study was, owners have rights and stewards have responsibility.
Right.
And so it's our responsibility to effectively communicate, you know, in our relationships, because I think a lot of times we move in silence and that breeds control. Meaning if I don't tell you, or if we haven't really discussed something together, I can come off, in a dominant way because it's the first time you're hearing it.
Right.
And so it's more or less like I'm making you do this versus let us do this together, or this is the direction that I'm headed in.
Right.
And so that's where communication is key in any relationship, period.
Absolutely. So how important is it to be relational?
It's very, very, very important, especially when isolation is always at hand. So a lot of us, you know, we fail to be relational to people because we've isolated ourselves for whatever reason. Maybe it's from a past hurt, or we just categorize ourselves as a, you know, an introvert only, right? Meaning,
hey,
no, careful. I'm saying, like,
I know
it's good to have time to yourself,
right?
But it doesn't necessarily always have to be by yourself.
That's true. I'm an introvert by nature. I know how to be extroverted when I have to be, but I love being in solitude because I gather a lot of my strength and energy in solitude.
So when we look at the word relationship, right, we can separate it because we know the root word in that is to relate. And so we have to look at, you know, what passions do we share with this person, or what common interests do we have, or how do we connect?
Keeping in mind that we also have differences. We are all different by design.
Mm-hmm.
And that also makes us relatable in
right.
a sense, because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around somebody who's just like me. If that were the case, you and I wouldn't be married.
Say that again.
Hey, okay.
Oh, I'm just kidding. But you know, like they say, opposites attract, right?
And so right.
those opposite things are not necessarily opposite beliefs or opposite, you know, values.
Opposite personality traits.
Right.
God is purposeful about putting us in relationships, not just marriages, but in relationships with people who share similar strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And they have opposite strengths as well. You know, I have weaknesses that you don't have. You have strengths that I don't have.
Right.
But when we come together, we complement one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be the same way in any friendship, any business relationship, any type of relationship we enter into. You want to have balance.
Yeah. And I think that when you understand that you are weak in an area and you accept it.
Right.
Because a lot of us don't want to hear that we're weak. All we want to do is focus on the strengths. Right. But if you are there and that's a strength area for you and it's a weakness for me, you can help me grow to where my weakness becomes a strength at some point. Right. But we have to first be willing to accept that ourselves through our own self-evaluation. And I think that's the essence of relation.
Absolutely. You know? I agree. Self-actualization is important because some people, like you said, don't want to even admit that they have weaknesses. Right. I personally, I'll be the first to tell you, this is my strength. Mm-hmm. These are my strengths. These are my weaknesses. And I know my weaknesses because I tend to delegate in those areas. Right. So if I know I'm weak in an area, I'll delegate it to someone who I know has that strength. Mm. And I honestly don't have a problem with it. Call me lazy if you want to, but I just know what works for me.
Right.
That's not saying I don't want to be stretched or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't want to increase my capacity. I understand that I have a limited capacity. So I don't always force myself to go beyond what I can bear in that moment.
Yeah. And that's what makes a good leader when you think about it. You know, during my time as a manager and as a squad leader and things like that in the military, I had to know my employees or my soldiers' strengths and weaknesses and mine as well. Because although I have knowledge of how to do everybody's job, it doesn't make me the master at doing everybody's job. So I always, you know, made it a point to know a little bit about everything, even outside of my arena or my direct work.
Right.
And so when you say you know, you look to others that are strong in areas where you feel like you're weak at, I think you maximize or you steward, right? You cultivate them in an area where they're strong and then it helps you grow.
You used a word that I love, and that's maximize.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes we only want to maximize ourselves. Mm-hmm. We want the spotlight on us.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of allowing someone else to be maximized in that moment, like shine.
Yeah.
Because if you strong in that area, baby, shine. Okay.
Please.
Please shine. Help a sister out.
Yeah.
You know, and let them have that moment. It does you no good to hoard the spotlight.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, you're looking for recognition.
Right.
You're looking for that pat on the back, somebody to toot your horn. Like, no, you don't always need that.
Right, no. The second part of that word relationship is ship.
Ship, right? And so my mind is a ship was never created to sit still.
Mm-mm.
It was created to sail. It was created to move.
Go somewhere.
It's going somewhere.
Right.
And so you can look at any word that has ship attached to it. It's going somewhere. Stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be a one-time thing. It's always in motion.
Right.
And so
relationship.
You know, yeah. When we relate with something, now we've entered into a ship. We're in a confined area where now we're headed somewhere.
Right.
You know. And so when you keep that in the forefront of all of your relationships, you'll know which boat to get in and which ones not to get in. Because some of those boats may be sinking.
You're right. You are so right about that. And like you said, that's the whole purpose of a ship, is to know what direction you're headed in. There has to be a purpose for this relationship.
So I want to ask you something.
Okay.
What are some reasons that make relationships difficult to deal with?
Off top, the first thing that comes to mind is a lack of trust because of being misused, abused, or mismanaged in prior relationships. Wow. And I would say that is probably the primary reason most of us even fail to engage or take initiative in maximizing relationships that we enter into. Mm-hmm. It's a fear that I'm going to be hurt again, you know?
Yeah.
There's this fear that if I give too much of myself, I'm not going to get anything back in return. Or it's, what do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I found myself thinking like that too. Like, what do you want from me?
What's your motive?
Right. Yeah. What do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a result of being misused, you know, abused and hurt in prior relationships. But the thing that I've learned the most is we can't hold everyone else accountable for what someone else in the past did.
Right.
We can't let that cloud linger over the new because of the old.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times we miss out on who and what God is sending to help us and to even probably heal us.
Mm.
We reject what he sends because it doesn't look like what we expect, or sometimes it looks too familiar to what we've been exposed to in the past.
Right. And so we tend to mismanage because we've been mismanaged.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, everything that you just said is key to, one, recognizing, you know, can I trust this person? Because I think a lot of times some of us just trust blindly.
Yeah, that was me.
Right. And so because we see the good in everybody.
Yeah.
I have a huge heart.
Yeah.
I'm always in the mindset that just because I see you in a certain situation doesn't mean that's how you're always going to be.
Right.
Right. So I always say we're a work in progress. Well, just because the road has a pothole today and you see the construction sign and you come back tomorrow and that construction sign is still there, well, they're repairing it. It takes time, right?
That's good.
When you take that approach into your relationships, trust is really not a concern because you're trusting them at the level, understanding that there could be some growth potential there.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then you have to look at yourself as well.
Right.
You're not perfect.
Absolutely.
You don't have it all together. Mm-hmm. So you can't, I guess that's one of the issues you talk about, having expectations or unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have the expectation that, look, I'm not perfect, so I don't expect everybody else that I enter into relationship with to be perfect.
Like, right.
We're all headed in that direction,
mm-hmm,
of trying to reach perfection.
Yeah.
It's progress.
Yep. The human factor is always there. Because it's one thing we can't change about ourselves.
Correct.
We can't become a dog. We can't become an alien. We are human.
We can't become Jesus. Okay. Like we were created in his image and his likeness. And that is,
mm-hmm,
our goal, is to, you know, be like him. But at the end of the day, if you still walking on this earth, that's something that we won't reach until we leave this earth and we are reunited in heaven with him. You always talk about how we can challenge people.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't change people.
Right.
Just because you have it together in this area doesn't mean that you can force someone else to get it, to get their life together in that area at that time.
Right.
You can challenge them.
Mm-hmm.
You can be the catalyst for change, but you cannot be the one to change
them. Be the change, yeah. And I frankly, I don't want that responsibility.
I don't either. You know how hard it is to change me? We can't change nobody.
Yeah.
Okay. Try changing yourself first before you try to go change somebody else.
Yep. Because if I change you, it's like when you take your car to the auto shop, right? And they change a part and all of a sudden you're driving and that part comes apart. You're going back to that person that changed it. I don't want you to come back and say it was default or, you know.
Well, that's why we leave the changing in the hands of the Father.
Yeah.
We leave that up to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let him do that work. Because he's the only one that can do it and do it right.
That's it.
So again, let's get back to some of the reasons why it's difficult to be in relationships sometimes. So we said, of course, a lack of trust.
Mm-hmm.
The next one would be
time.
Oh, wow.
Everybody get 24 hours in a day, right? But man, managing that time makes it so difficult sometimes in relationships because that's the one thing that most people want from you.
Oh, yeah. Especially if that's someone's love language is quality time.
Yeah.
They're always going to want you, mm-hmm, and your time.
Right.
And for someone whose love language may be gifts or acts of service, you know, they may not understand. Hey,
yeah,
I don't need to be up in your face all the time. That's, mm-hmm, you know, but some people just love spending time with you, and that's perfectly fine. But like you said, we have to learn how to manage our time.
Right. Lack of understanding, I think, too, is a huge barrier in relationships, or that makes relationships difficult because, one, we do come from different places, right? And so if we don't have an understanding or a heart to even want to understand where a person is coming from or where they've been or, you know, what they've gone through, I think it's a disservice to ourselves, one, but it's a disservice to that other person as well, because it's never one-sided in a relationship. So there's always two sides. So that person is putting their trust in you, right? They're doing all of these things, but you're not reciprocating that. You're not giving that back with the same energy.
There's this saying that I have, and it says, don't build your life around people who only attach to you because of where you're going without caring to know where you've been.
Wow.
And I think that is so, for me, that holds weight. Like, don't just come at me because you see where I'm going, but ask me where I've been.
Yeah.
Ask me what I've gone through to get to where I am now.
Yeah.
I think it's important in a relationship, foundational wise, to understand where people come from, because it's going to help you relate. You might even find out that you got some similar background, you know. So I respect people who not only attach themselves to me, or I attach myself to them because of where they're going, but when I attach myself to anybody, my first question is what's your story? What have you gone through?
Yeah.
Because I could care less about, you know, numbers and follow. None of that stuff really matters to me. I want you to reach your full potential. I want you to thrive in your destiny. But at the end of the day, I want the person.
Right.
It's kind of the same thing with God. You know, many of us attach to God because we want what's in his hand.
Right.
But we don't want his heart.
Mm-hmm.
We want his kingdom principles that offer breakthrough in our lives, but we don't want his presence. It's just like wanting the kingdom without a king.
That's true.
So what are some ways to better manage our relationships?
Be a listening ear. Slow to speak, quick to listen.
So that really means we need to learn how to develop our communication skills.
So the first part in communication, right, when we look at that word, is commune, right? And so that's us coming together. And then when we look at the middle portion of that word, uni, meaning one, right? And so we want to come together, but be on one accord. Like, we want to, you know, we want to be on the same wavelength.
That's good.
And so that there are no kinks or no breaks in our transmissions between each other.
Right.
Right.
That's good. That's good. Be positive.
Oh my God. Yes. I think I'm not going to call you a negative Nancy, but I'm a very positive person, right?
I'm not a negative Nancy.
You're not a negative Nancy.
I'm very realistic. Yeah. I'm a realist. So.
But there's a way to be positive even in the face of reality.
Yeah. Well, I think being positive just means going into relationship with people, thinking positively about them. Schedule the appointments.
Oh, yeah. Make the appointment.
To build relationship or to build intimacy in relationships.
Right. And so in marriage, we like to say, we break that word intimacy into me, you see, or I see.
Into me, see.
Right. So I have to get, one, I have to be close enough to you to even know about you. I believe our conversation has to always be louder than the conversation outside of us. So people can say a whole lot of stuff about us, but they don't know internally what we've talked about.
Right. Or they don't know the dynamics of your relationship.
Right.
So we build what we believe in, right?
Yeah.
So if I believe in this relationship, I'm going to be intentional about building intimacy in that relationship. If you question a relationship that you're in right now, it's probably because you don't believe in it. There's some red flags somewhere, you know, you might be dealing with some underlying trust issues, whatever the case may be. But ultimately, we're always going to build what we believe in. We're going to invest in what we value.
Right.
You don't have to beg me to spend time with my husband. I love spending time with my husband. I'm like basically trying to get in his body half the time. Okay.
Yeah.
That's because I believe in our union. The same goes for relationships. When you believe in that person or that relationship that you're in, you want to spend time with them. The thing about intimacy is it's the one thing that we fear the most, because intimacy requires a level of transparency and vulnerability that most of us are afraid of.
Yeah.
But it's something that we desire the most and we need it.
Yeah.
We need intimacy with God, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want intimacy with my husband. Mm-hmm. I need intimacy with my friendships. And yeah. then you have to be able to categorize friends. There are some friends who I won't have certain conversations with mm-hmm. because we haven't reached that level of intimacy.
There you go. Yeah.
But there are other friends, my confidants, my sisters, and I don't use the term friend loosely. A mm-hmm. lot of people do that. I don't use that term loosely because you have to graduate into right. different levels and categories yeah. of friendship with me.
Yeah, that's what management is.
Absolutely.
It's putting things in order, putting things in its rightful place.
Absolutely.
So that you can manage it. If you got friends all over the place, if you got all of these people, you know, in and out of your life, you're never going to reach that level of intimacy that you really desire, but you can't obtain because you got too many people holding that title.
Too many people. You're trying to balance too many people at one time. Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed about Christ in the Bible was he had many followers, loved everybody.
Right.
But he only had 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And even amongst those 12 disciples, he was only very close to a few of
yeah.
them. So it's almost like the higher you go, the smaller your circle becomes. They mm-hmm. say that, right? I believe it's so true.
Oh, it is.
It's so Absolutely. True. And you have to be able to categorize people. The word intimacy is attached to family,
mm-hmm.
even though all of us don't experience that in our families. But still, there are levels to friendships. And like I said, you may have tons of followers. You may know a lot of people, but that don't mean you are in intimate relationships with everybody. What's another way we can better manage our relationships?
Just appreciating each other. Being grateful, being thankful that this person has taken the time out or really fit you into their schedule.
Absolutely.
You know, I think with that understanding, we have to know that they have lives too. That, you know, our lives are busy, but other people's lives are too. So if I text you today and you don't respond till tomorrow, I can't, you know, jump to the conclusion that, oh, we're not friends because you didn't respond when I, you know, right at the moment when I text you. Well, that person may have, you know, family or things like that. And so for me, when I reach out to a lot of my friends or close friends like that, I already kind of keep in mind that, you know, they may have other things going on. So if they don't respond immediately, it's nothing personal. It's just it's just me knowing, you know.
Again, I also believe that taps into ownership. Mm-hmm. We don't own people.
Yeah.
People don't have to respond to you when you want them to respond to you. You don't own anybody.
Right.
Okay. You have your own life and they have theirs.
Yep.
Now, you appreciate them for taking the time out of their busy schedule or whatnot to respond to mm-hmm. you. And most of my closest friends know that if you call me or text me and I don't answer, it's for two reasons. One, I'm extremely busy. Two, I'm asleep. Or
right.
three, I might be in some kind of mood. And not the best mood for me or the best time for me to talk is not right now.
Right.
Even though I also, you know, Bishop used to say, just because people call you don't mean you got to talk to them. Maybe that ain't.
Yeah.
I mean, it is true.
But I think something to keep in mind is, you know, I am gone a lot. Or I have been gone a lot in the past.
Yeah.
Those that are close to you, they usually ramp up when I'm not here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. My phone.
And you're a little bit more available. Uh-huh. But it's coming back from that. Sometimes, yeah. you know, they get used to it a certain way. And you're just not available at the time because I'm filling a space now
yeah.
that really wasn't filled before.
And that's something that, like I said, you learn about people as you get to know them.
Right.
You learn their lifestyle. You learn their culture. You learn what they like, what they don't mm-hmm. like, what they do, what's normal for them, what's not normal for them. Now, if my friends called me 3 days in a row and didn't get a response from me, they would know that's not normal.
Yeah.
That's not the norm. So you might want to check up on me.
Mm-hmm.
Send somebody what's going on.
Right.
But I definitely appreciate that my friends understand how I function,
mm-hmm.
Even though sometimes it may not always be functional. They know how I function even in my dysfunctional ways, but they respect my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
They respect my boundaries and they just simply know because of my history and our history with the military, I have PTSD, bone traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
You're better off texting me than you are calling me. And I used to work on the phones.
I know. Yeah.
Like I used to, that was what I used to do.
I see you shaking now. It's okay. It's
you okay. know, okay. It's like, please don't let this phone go off. I might throw it. But yeah, that's why it's so important to know people. Mm. Get to know people.
Yeah.
Get to know why they respond the way they do, why they act the way they do. I have to go back to the whole boundaries things and making sure that we're clear. We have clarity in our relationships because clarity births confidence and security. So when you call me and I don't answer right away, you don't have to feel insecure about our relationship.
Yeah.
I can't stand when somebody insecure about our relationship, especially when it involves me being in relationship with someone else.
Right.
I mean, how do you feel about that? When people get territorial, I'm like, wait a minute. Again, you don't own me.
Right.
You don't own me. Is that a song? I think.
Probably is, but.
You don't own me. And you are, what we have going on over here should be solid. But anyway. One more thing that can help us better manage our relationships and really sums it all up is to keep love at the forefront of the of our minds.
Right. One of the greatest commands is to love your neighbors as you love yourself. Well, one, we know you can't do one without the other. So I can't love you if I don't love me. I want to be able to love you, you know, in spite of your flaws, your shortcomings, you know, in spite of your success, right?
Right.
Because sometimes people get too successful and we fall out of love with them, where you don't take up a certain space in that in their life, or you're not a part of that development phase for them now. Role changes in relationships. You have to be able to recognize those, because you may not be a friend for life. You may be a friend for a season
or a reason.
Right? And so recognizing those three dynamics of relationships are also important, because I've got some friends that, you know, who I thought were supposed to be friends for life, who I haven't talked to in a lifetime. Right? But it's not that I don't like that person or that person don't like me. We've just grown and we've gone into two different directions.
You mentioned that people can be seasonal, you know. You can be in relationships with people for a reason or a lifetime. So when do you know it's a good time to end a relationship?
When it's unhealthy. Like if there's signs of manipulation or deception, you have to pay attention to those signs, because that relationship will ultimately sink if you let it.
I agree. Just to sum that up, if it's toxic, if it's not going anywhere, if they're draining you, if they're a leech, you know, a vampire sucking you dry, look for those signs. Look for those red flags. People know when it's time to end a relationship. And I think sometimes it requires much more strength to let go of something than it is to hold on to it. And some people fear not getting something better in return.
Right.
After letting something go. So that's why they just hold on to it. We fear that God doesn't have anything better for us. So I'm going to hold on to this because I've lost so much in the past already. I just need to hold on to what I have left, because it seems like I've already lost everything.
That's true. Yeah.
But you have to, come on, just be honest with yourself and say, you know what? This is not good for me. If it's serving an old version of you, then it's sabotaging the best version of you. Because I'm not trying to go back.
Yep.
I'm trying to move forward.
And that's where those bad habits come into play when it comes to mismanaging all of these different areas in your life, because we're stuck to kind of what we're familiar with.
Right.
We really don't want to let it go, like you said, because we're afraid that the better person that's coming, you know, we're going to mess it up. And also, I think in order for us to reach a level of intimacy or closeness with God, there is a letting go process, right? There's a sacrificial part, whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be whatever you're, I think, connected to the most, or whatever is sometimes distracting you the most, is the thing that you need to let go.
Absolutely. And it may even be for a season. He might just want you to lay it down.
Yeah.
Temporarily. Are you willing to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Some people ain't willing to do that. There's some things I'm like, no, I don't want to let that go.
Right.
But are you willing to lay down your desire?
Yeah.
For what God's desire is. Lay down your will. Lay down your assignment. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Lay that person down. Lay this relationship down.
And there's so much freedom in that.
So at the end of the day, here are some key points that we really want you guys to remember from this conversation.
God owns everything, including people, your friends, your spouse, your children, your parents, pastors, associates, etc. Right? You don't own these people.
Love is the currency of relationships.
Mm.
This is so good. 1 Corinthians 13:4 tells us, you know, that love is patient, love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking, and it is not easily angered. Love does not keep records of wrongdoings. Love is the currency of relationships. And that also means that love is going to hurt.
Mm.
Love requires sacrifice. Again, we have to make allowances for others' faults because we love them. We learn and see that all of these principles are exemplified through Christ.
Right.
And the pattern that he set when he walked the earth in his relationships with people. The Bible says in John 15:13 that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. I need to get this scripture down in my heart.
That's what Jesus did with the disciples. He was intimate with them because he needed them to understand that this is what it looks like because I'm about to lay my life down for you.
That's true. And like you said, a level of intimacy is required in every type of relationship. If Christ had intimacy in his relationships with the disciples, then we must have intimacy in the relationships in our homes, outside of our homes, in business, you know, in church, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of intimacy required. So you guys, at the end of the day, understand this. Relationships can be messy. They can be complicated. They're very complex. They require work and effort to grow. Some relationships are even draining, but it's the one thing that we can't thrive in life without. Building relationships is an area we can all improve in. For some of us, that's hard because we've been hurt. We've been taken advantage of. We've been misused in past relationships and even in community. However, the truth still remains that God created us to be in community, to commune and be in unity with one another. You may have been hurt in community, but you can also be healed and loved in community. Your net worth is really connected to your network because everything God does, every blessing he gives, he does it through people.
So this has been a great conversation today, and it covered a whole lot of areas in our lives to where we really want to be, like we said, a catalyst for growth. It's never to tear down anybody, but it's always to build us up.
We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and we look forward to meeting with you again on
Building with the Browns.